Good evening and welcome to the call. It's so good to be with you this evening. This is one of my favorite calls, and I'm sincerely hoping that you've come prepared to share your experience of this last week with the principles of intrinsic validation. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the first three principles after discussing the fact that everyone has walls of resistance and that we use our empathy and our intuition as tools to help us take down those walls. Our empathy comes from our life experiences. That as we own our own life experiences, we engrave them on our heart so that we can more effectively show up for another person, step into their world, see something through their position. Using our life experience, we can more effectively connect with them. So once we understand there are walls and everybody has them, we use our life experiences, our empathy, our intuition, our inner sense of knowing, to connect with a person, then we begin the process of looking for what's important to a human being. And then we verbalize it. And then we begin listening for doors. We're now noticing people differently. We're actually seeing them. And now we want to begin to experience what they're experiencing. So we listen for doors, those verbal hints about what they're experiencing, and we step into their world. Last week we talked about that once we're in the world, we want to create a safe place where they know they can express their opinions or their ideas without fear of retribution. And then with their walls down and having shared, we will have learned a great deal of information. And most likely, if we want to share something with this person, there might be a product that we want to share if we have one that we're selling. And we want to, at that point, try on their dream. Does what we have truly serve them? Does it fulfill a need for them, or is it simply fulfilling a need for us? Are we doing this for us? Are we doing this as something that will truly bless their lives? That's the next step. And if this would truly bless their lives, then we ask ourselves before we begin sharing, is this the right time? If it is, then we seek agreement, step number seven. We seek agreement to step into, have them step into our world and let us share with them. In this particular section, we talk about feel, felt, found. Dr. Hennig, Jim Hennig, who's on our board of directors, who's a nationally known expert in negotiations, suggested we do that third party. I believe I understand how you feel. John felt the same way. Let me share with you what he found. It's just a little safer place for you to stay connected to the person using another person as an example. It's a wonderful way of using the feel, felt, found idea of sharing your story. This is where we tell our story, what has happened to us. Now, with this warning, this isn't where we share everything we know. This is where we share what's important for this person to know. We don't need to tell them everything. What's important? What catches their attention? What questions are they searching? What challenges are they facing? And what about your story can help them know and prepare them for you to share your solutions to their challenges? That's intrinsic validation, the seven steps. Now, when we're in this last step, we may discover that someone has an objection. As we discussed last week, objections are not questions that demand an answer. An objection is a comment that demands a question. Gosh, I don't know if I'm a salesperson. We don't give them all the reasons why they're wrong. We don't give them all the reasons why their thinking is not accurate. We ask them a question. Well, help me understand better. Share with me what you're thinking. What's been your experience with sales? And then we begin to discover what's happening in their life. And as they begin to know that we know where they are, and we didn't try to fix them, their walls continue to come down. Intrinsic validation is not a linear experience. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, now it's my turn to talk, shut up and listen. It's an art form. Whenever a wall comes up, we step right back into their world and take down the wall. This is respect for another human being. They have a have an opinion. They have a life. They have a belief system. Can we give them the right to have theirs without always needing to fix them? If we can, we'll create a safe place. This isn't about us. This is about them. Okay, well, that's the process of intrinsic validation. Last week we had several people share some of the experiences they were having stepping into people's worlds. I want to open this up for a few minutes for those who have been having experiences with these principles to share with us. There's nothing too small or too big. And who would like to go first?
I'll go. This is Steve from Arizona.
Hi, Steve.
How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for participating.
Thank you for the opportunity.
There's power in silence, isn't there, Steve?
Yeah, there sure is. It's compelling. Which is exactly what I encountered this week. I'm in the process of building a website, and I had taken a few opportunities to seek out different service providers, and stumbled across one young man who has kind of a fledgling business in the Florida area, and used all of these principles really to discover that even though he hadn't achieved the depth of experience that some of the companies I was dealing with had accomplished, that I actually, by stepping into his world, building that bridge, and actually trying on his dream, which was that of being a web designer, he didn't have the big portfolio for me to show. I think he was very hesitant and very probably embarrassed at the fact that he didn't have quite the way to represent himself that other people did. And I entered into his dream, tried on his dream, shared with him, on his request, some of the experiences I had with some of the other providers that I had spoken to. I could sense, I could feel that it made him feel very comfortable. And he actually moved forward with a very dynamic proposal. And by sharing that and not approaching him and just shutting the door on him, I think it, I feel that it allowed him to take a dramatic step forward in his own business. And after it's all said and done, there's other companies out there with vastly large amounts more experience and probably capabilities. However, I feel it allowed him to really take his business up a couple notches and develop his own product to the point that I may just go with him as a provider. Mm-hmm. The objections actually came from him, which brought out questions in me and in his product offerings. We began to seek agreement from each other on what it was we wanted.
Virus databases updated.
Took the time to listen to his dream, tried his dream on for size. I realized during the process that this was a dream of his, that he was kind of a fledgling business. But rather than just dismissing him and moving on to the next person, I feel it was a win-win situation by allowing him an opportunity to open the door to some opportunity and allowed me to find some opportunity in an unusual place that perhaps I could have just as easily hung up the phone and moved right along without even considering him.
Thank you, Steve. As you stepped into his world and listened to his level of passion and even the questions he asked about your business, did you feel like this was somebody that would truly pour their soul into your project?
Absolutely, 100%. And not only pour his soul into my project, mm-hmm. but was interested enough in my project that I believe we created a win-win synergy by allowing him to step forward, take on a larger task through my assistance and some other areas that I pointed out. And not only do I feel I'll be a customer of his, I'm very confident that he will also be a customer of mine after the completion.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so it worked both ways.
This is a very unusual example because it's generally the other way around. We're having this discussion. You step into this young man's life, his wall comes down, his cooperation and productivity flood out. Do you feel that you may actually get more effort from him than you might have from another provider? With more
100% confident that I will get more dedication, more attention to detail, and more productivity out of him than I would another provider. Absolutely.
At the same time, are you getting a better price?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Better price? I actually gave him a raise during the process because he was pricing himself, you know, beyond what was I felt was reasonable and fair based on what I thought were his talents. He was way out of the ballpark on the low end. I think that he'll gain a lot of experience. I think he'll develop his talents and his confidence. I believe I will get a tremendous product out of it. I believe it's a process that I can continue to help him through, and he will continue to help me through. And not only, again, will I be his customer, but when it's all said and done, he's very interested in the area I'm developing, and I'm certain he'll be a customer of mine when it's all done.
This is terrific. Steve, you'll want to keep us informed over the weeks ahead how this is unfolding. Will you please do that?
I absolutely will.
This is a very interesting example of walls coming down, cooperation and productivity flooding out on both sides of this equation, and having someone who feels intrinsically valued. And what's the likelihood, Steve, when someone feels intrinsically valued, that there is something inside of them that wakes up that's even greater than they knew was present?
Absolutely. By intrinsically validating him, I know it convinced him, and after a short time of talking with him, that we were able cooperatively to allow him to see that he was much more than he believed himself to be.
Okay. Now, I'm going to take you to a very special place if you'll go there with us. You alluded to this a moment ago. How often in the past have you been guilty of making judgments based on first impressions of what you're looking at?
If I might answer that same question, I believe 3 weeks ago I would have probably spent 30 seconds on the phone with this young man and moved on.
Based on what you see on the surface, not understanding the complexities and details and everything else that's involved, and you walk away with a preconceived idea and you miss an opportunity to connect with a human being. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very rewarding, too.
Very rewarding. And if this turns out, as you anticipate that it will, that he'll create the great product for you at a great price and you have a new friend, are you in the business of building friends?
Absolutely.
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 How fun is this? Yes, I've got a good friend who, I don't know the business that you're in, Steve. He's in networking business, and his name is Dan McCormick, and Dan was sharing with me that, not with me, he was sharing it in an interview that I was listening to, that he said someone came up to him, and he was trying to recruit people in the business and trying to sell this person and sell that person, and he came up to Dan and said, "What am I doing wrong?" And he said, Well, you're trying to sell people, I'm just making friends. What a wonderful thing to do in all of our dealings with people. If we've got a concern or a doubt, let us build a friendship. We'll be surprised what we actually find out if we let go of our preconceived judgments. Way to be, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there someone else who would like to share?
Hello, Dave. This is Fernando from Dallas.
Hi, Fernando.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Welcome.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Well, I wanted to share Well, you know, and I was delighted to hear Steve's story. I was kind of smiling as I was listening through that because I was relating to that.
But, which side of that conversation were you on at one time?
Well, you know, he was mentioning that, you know, in previous times, you know, he probably would have spent 30 seconds on the phone and moved on.
Mm-hmm.
You know the business that I'm in with real estate, and we have a recruitment opportunity as well. And I know for a while there, you know, I got to a point again where, you know, if I heard a lot of skepticism and just too many questions and a little bit too much negativity, I just tend to want to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this, you know, for the past few months, and in fact this past weekend in particular, we had a big 3-day workshop event, and I had one lady in particular that I'd been working with for a couple of weeks, and she's one that that definitely came in extremely skeptical, older lady who'd been around the business and tried many different things and was just really has been burned before. And, you know, she just really came at it very, very defensive. And I made it a point to really listen to her and to meet with her face-to-face and talk to her a little bit before we even got together for this 3-day event. And after this 3-day event, I went into it without any kind of agenda as far as, you know, closing a sale or doing anything like that. I really just wanted to step into her world and find out, you know, will this serve you? In other words, is this what you've been looking for? Is this something that could make a difference in your world? And so she really took the time to ask all the questions. She started letting her defenses down little by little. And by the end of the event, not only had she completely purchased, you know, one of the packages that we had to offer, but was instantly calling me and really, you know, built like a friendship all the way to the point where she called me yesterday and said, you know, I've got this wonderful lake house. You know, bring some of your investors by, and, you know, we can certainly meet here and do a powwow and so on. And she was just, you know, like a big soft teddy bear all of a sudden.
Fernando, you said little by little. Isn't it interesting? Someday I'm going to see this in a skit. There's going to be a person with a puppet on their right shoulder, and it's a tiger. And the tiger's got its claws out ready to pounce. You know, because when people are talking to us, they know if we've got a tiger that's just ready to pounce, just as soon as they show any blood, rawr, we're going to eat them alive. And so you have somebody like this, and you're talking to her, and she's kind of like, you know, can I really trust him? Is he really going to be a friend? Is he really interested in me? Okay, I'll let a little bit down and see what happens, and a little bit more down and see what happens. Can you feel this, Fernando? Just a little bit more, just a little bit more, and all of a sudden, oh my goodness, this is different. This guy cares. How fun is this? But you've just given us a great example that we can't expect the walls to come down quickly when someone, as you said, has been burned. They're going to be very cautious, and we need to give them the opportunity to be cautious and to be patient and allow them to have time. When Og said, with love I can melt all hearts, liken unto the sun whose rays soften the coldest clay, he did not say in a 5-minute conversation. It may take a little bit more. How long did you talk to her before you felt this friendship come alive? Did you say 3 days? Over the course of 3 days?
Yes, I talked to her on the phone for about a week, and then I actually did face-to-face for 3 days with her.
Mm-hmm. A little bit at a time. Just loving her, letting those walls come down one little step at a time. Beautiful. Way to be, Fernando. Now, what are you going to do next time?
I think I'm just going to repeat the same approach, just really, again, just... the key thing, I think, to working with the individuals is really just to sit back without any agenda and just listen. Just really listen to what they have to say and figure out where they're looking to go and be honest with them. You know, in fact, honest to the point where you can tell them, you know, this may not be the time for you. You know, we may need just a little bit more time with you. And you have to be okay with that.
Mm-hmm. If they're the right person, what happens when you do this?
If they're the right person, then they'll understand and they'll work with you and usually set a plan.
Yeah. And if they're the wrong person, can you force the wrong person to buy?
No.
Are you open to the possibility that you could force the wrong person to buy?
I believe you could force the wrong person to buy.
And if you did, what kind of a nightmare might you face in the future?
Oh, boy. I've been down that path before.
Okay. Thank you. That's a very honest comment. Most have who have been in sales. When we force a situation, we can manipulate, coerce, close, and we generally pay an awful price.
Right.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you. What a great lesson, because you sell a fairly high-ticket item, do you not?
Yes, we do.
Just so the audience who's listening, what is the, when you sell the package you really want to sell in terms of real estate education, what's the price tag?
$30,000.
$30,000. I just want everybody to hear that. That's how you treat people. And some people are saying, gosh, if you can do that with a $30,000 purchase, could I do that with a $250 or a $1,500 purchase? Absolutely. Even more effectively. Your walls aren't quite as big on the smaller purchases. But we honor people. I love what you said, Fernando. Just listen. Step back. No agenda. It's attractive. It would be it would be manipulative if it weren't real. Yes.
It really is. And I wanted to let you know that because of being able to practice this, again, and having these high-ticket items, just doing the same thing over and over with a few different individuals, I believe we were able to put in me personally was able to put in about $150,000 worth of orders this weekend.
Would you care to share what your commission would be on that?
$35,000.
Okay. Not a bad weekend.
Not bad at all.
No. Would you tell our friends down there in Texas hello?
I sure will. We look forward to seeing you again.
I heard Dylan was down there at this point.
He sure is. I just saw him yesterday.
Would you give him a hug for me next time you see him?
I sure will. I'd be happy to.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wonderful. Anyone else would like to share this evening? Let's have at least one more person come out. Give us a shout out to the group.
Hey, this is John in Los Angeles.
Hi, John.
Hey. I'm one of these scholarship recipients ago, and I want to thank you now on the phone for that valuable fee, and I thank
Who's
you
your
much.
Coach, John?
Oh, it's Jenny. Jenny in Scottsdale.
You have Jenny in Scottsdale.
I have the most wonderful lady in this nation, if anybody needs to know, I'll tell you. She and I know that we have our work cut out for us. I did the assessment, of course. I am a mess. And one of the things, very, very quickly here, one of the things that was so out of alignment showed that I'm very skeptical of things of this nature here. So came into it 2 weeks ago thinking, okay, let's just see here. And sure enough, I am finding out that this intrinsic validation is so very real. Now, I'm a beginner, and I realize that, but just in the 2 weeks since our last, 2 weeks ago when we had the call, there was a lady who spoke regarding someone she'd encountered who had some depression and perhaps suicidal thoughts, as I recall. And when she mentioned that, I gasped because I realized I had just gone through that very thing with someone a couple of days prior to that, and I just started weeping. I was on mute, thank goodness. I didn't want anybody to know. I wanted to say something. Couldn't do it, Dave. I couldn't do it. But anyway, as a result of that call that I made a couple of days prior to last Tuesday, 2 weeks ago's discussion, I had called a sister with whom I do not have really any relationship except I call her on her birthday. I had called to actually get the phone number for another sister whose birthday was coming up the next day. But in the course of this conversation, calling just to say, well, hello, how are you? And knowing that in the end I wanted a phone number, it ended up being a two-hour phone call during which this sister of mine revealed her own depression over some disease she has now, which is making her depressed. And so with that, I found that I could just absolutely listen, and somehow this love in my heart, because I'm on scroll too, you know, the love in my heart just came through, and she was able to tell me all about her fibromyalgia, whatever, how it's said, I don't know. She was able to tell me all about that, and somewhere halfway through the two-hour conversation, there was a point to where I needed to say what you had taught us to say, that is, by example, you gave an example of it. You want me to listen. You want me to tell you what to do, which you'd actually ask me to do. And she chose, because I already listened for an hour, she wanted me to sort of tell her what to do. Well, I didn't really do that, but I took some of her world and helped her understand it a little better. The following day was my other sister's birthday, much my senior. I have no relationship with her really at all. She's so much older than I am. And I called her on her birthday, and I've never, ever talked to her except a few minutes, a short hello, how's your birthday going, that sort of thing, and then it's over. This call, also on a Sunday, ended up being 2 hours long. She called me last week, a week later now, called me a week later and said, "Don, I'm calling to apologize to you." What? What do we have to apologize for? Apologize to you for being so out of control, in the sense that she talked on and on and on. She'd never talked to me in my life. So I'm thinking, this is a breakthrough in my life. Here I was, able to listen, make a connection. This is Dave. I made a connection with that sister of mine, who is so much older than I am, and she felt through the phone line that I was a safe place. I was that down pillow you talk about. And I'll tell you, Lord, I couldn't wait to tell Jenny about it. I'm telling you, this is real. That's all I want to say. This is real. This intrinsic validation is real. The skepticism that I came into this with is being eaten away very, very quickly. And I just want to say, good scholarship. Thank you for letting me participate. It's changing my life already.
Thank you, John. And congratulations to Jenny. And you do have one fine coach. We have been so blessed, John, with some coaches who have been willing to share and give and serve. And I can imagine Jenny is listening and going, "Yes, John, way to be." She'll be your greatest cheerleader in this process. And oh, to mend relationships with sisters like this where there has been challenges for a lifetime. All of you listening, did you hear that? You may want to, this week, begin the process of identifying a person in your life where there has been a problem, particularly a relative, where there's been a challenge, and begin the process of building a bridge to that person. It may not happen instantly. You may want to show your love, and John, you're so blessed to have it happen so quickly. It may not happen as quickly. But as Og says, they can't deny it. They may distrust your apparel. They may not like your voice. They may not like your bargains. Your bargains may even cause them suspicion. But your love will melt all hearts like into the sun has rays soften the coldest clay. This is a wonderful thing. Thank you, John. Wow, three very diverse examples. Steve, thank you for sharing yours about almost a reverse situation where you're interviewing a vendor and stepping into their world. Fernando, slowly taking down those walls of someone who's suspicious. And John, using these principles to bless somebody in your family. This is wonderful. Now, we want to teach some principles tonight, but we are being so well taught by people who are sharing. I don't want to proceed if there's someone on the call who's had an experience. John, last week you mentioned that you're having that emotional experience on mute as the experience was shared about stepping into someone's world and assisting them when they're feeling that depression and almost suicidal. Not almost, this case of what they were. Is there someone who is having one of those moments that, given the opportunity to share, you would share? To bless the lives of everyone on this phone. We have been well taught. Could not have been spoken better by me. Is there someone else who would like to share with us before we proceed?
Dave, this is Liz. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Liz.
I have never shared before, but I had a major breakthrough, and it has just changed my life. I had, you know, I really thought about, you know, the story of, you know, your dream and you dragging the sack behind you. And, you know, we all do that, and I do that and have done that in my past. And so I looked at the largest sphere. Excuse me, I'm really sorry. And it was a child that me and my ex-husband were in the process of adopting. And after a year and a half, he left myself, and the two children were sent back to the state because the adoption wasn't finalized. And at the time, a single woman going through a divorce was unable to adopt children. And Joseph was the oldest, and he was my son for a year and a half. And I always thought that, oh, my gosh, you know, I ruined his life. And I grabbed that sphere, and I squeezed it hard and to the point that I couldn't breathe. And as that happened, I had this amazing enlightening moment that, you know, Joseph is in God's hands, and God loves him, and God has his path, and I was a portion of that path, but he's in great hands, and it changed my life, and I want to thank you.
In the year and a half you had him, were you a blessing to him?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And he was more to me.
Yeah.
And it's been 13 years. And I've carried this the whole time. And it's just amazing to know that I can leave him in God's hands. And he has the best life. That our Father would make sure of that. He's God's child. And I had him for a time.
And while you did, you served.
Yes.
Well, Liz, you've had this experience now of holding this painful moment in your hands and feeling what that felt like, pressing it against your chest, and the joy that comes from holding it in your heart instead of dragging it in a sack.
Amazing. Absolutely. A life-changing experience.
Yes. Would you go someplace with me just for a moment?
Absolutely.
How many moms out there may have had an experience where they've lost a child?
Many.
Many. If you were talking to a mom and you stepped into her world and you found out she lost a child, do you know how she feels?
Yeah.
Do you know the questions to ask?
No.
Yes. This is going to come full circle when you find her. You mentioned God, so I'll continue this because we're about to talk about how to use our mind constructively. And one of the ways that we use our mind constructively is to say in the morning, if there's anyone I can serve, I, Liz, having been through this painful moment that I've been dragging around for 13 years that I'm finally holding in my heart, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path, and I will serve them. And Liz, come back and report to us in the next couple of weeks. People who are put on your path now that you're owning this and not dragging it. How many conversations you have with individuals who you discover that the pain you now have owned, not as a burden, but now a lens through which you can better see and understand someone else's pain. Share with who's put on your path. I think you will be pleasantly surprised and blessed. And when you're able to listen and serve that person who is still in that pain, dragging that sack, till they know, finally, somebody knows where I am. Oh, finally. feel something inside your soul that is going to be so peaceful, so gracious. You're going to heal. You're going to feel that self-esteem healing. And that's when the full circle comes around. You've seen it, taken it out of the sack, engraved it on your heart, using it, asking if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path, and I'll serve them. You watch God people put people on your path specifically, because you will know the pain they're feeling, and they will finally know that someone knows where they are. You watch this happen, Liz. It's going to be a wonderful piece of your life. Because now, instead of dragging it around, you're going to be able to serve with it. Oh, and there are so many who are hurting so badly. They may not have lost a child exactly like this, but they may have lost them to addiction. They may have lost them to crime. They may have lost them to a divorce. There's other ways of losing children. But you know what it feels like when a mother's heart is aching because they can't reach out and touch that child. Oh, you'd be able to serve. Gosh, I'm glad you shared, Liz. That is so powerful. Anybody else on the phone that's in that position dragging something painful around, listen to Liz talk about how joyful it is to finally hold it in her heart instead of dragging it in a sack. And watch the next couple weeks as she uses this to serve other people so effectively. This is going to be wonderful to watch. Liz, would you come back and share with us? Will you be sure to share when those opportunities open up?
Absolutely.
No matter what we're talking about, we're going to move on to other topics through the weeks to come. But when we open up for sharing, would you take us back to this moment and let us know that you have now met one of those people and served them?
I sure will.
Thank you very much, your heart. Ah. Well, we're moving ahead just a little bit. I want us to get into this next area. This is the first quality of becoming an intentional creator. Can you feel why it's so important? We really can't move ahead until we take that stuff out of the sack and we own it and we use it to serve others. We really can't move ahead when we've got relationships that are shattered and fractured. We really can't move ahead if we're not patiently listening to people and putting aside our agenda. We really can't move ahead unless we're stepping into people's worlds and intrinsically valuing them, as Steve did. We can't do that. Steve and Fernando and John and Liz, thank you for teaching us. This is such a critical piece, and it is who you really are. As you do this more and more, a part of you is going to wake up that's so beautiful, and you're going to say, oh my goodness, this is the secret of success in all ventures. Now, the thing that gets in the way are all these thought processes in our mind, and a couple of them are really damaging. We have assessed thousands of people. I personally assessed 3,000 and done assessment debriefs averaging 2 hours in length, about 6,000 hours of interviews. And we've discovered that in those people who are hungry for success, who are seeking to create success in their life, have two thought processes in common. The second quality of an intentional creator is dedicated to these thoughts. Because these two thought processes can drive us crazy, or they can actually propel us forward, depending on how we use them. If you have your assessments handy, the first one you're going to look at is on the left-hand side. It's called analytical. It's a ninth measurement down. On the right-hand side, it's goal-oriented. It's the ninth measurement down. They're the same distance down on both sides. They're very similar. Analytical is just obsessively thinking about thinking. Goal-oriented is not just thinking, it's being able to do so very vividly. When you bring those two together, and 97% of those actively seeking abundance have one or both of these measurements, orange or red, just smile. just my goodness. Are they a light green? Are they an orange? Or are they a red? How active are they? Now, what happens is that in our society today, we are taught to visualize. That visualization creates tangible reality. That is a lie. Visualization creates inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems that ignite our passion and drive our focus, effort, and discipline. And when we take that action, we actually begin to create that idea. That same power that gave us the inspired idea, impression, or solution to a problem can now manifest somebody in our path who we can serve and who will serve us, or will manifest more ability as we fully maximize what we already have. So, for clarity, there is a power, and it does manifest. We are going to want to discover in this next week and the week after exactly how this works. Because if we use it incorrectly, we will be like so many that we coach, where we just weep with them at first because they say, David, I could almost touch it. I could almost taste it. Why can't I have it? What's wrong with me? Does God not love me? And it has nothing to do with that. It's just using this great gift to think and to vividly visualize destructively instead of constructively. When you use it constructively, which we'll go to in a moment, you will receive, have manifest to you, as Jack Canfield said in the DVD The Secret, I had a $1 million idea in the shower. The idea didn't just happen, but the idea was manifest, an impression, a solution to a problem. It ignited his passion. Jack is a master creator. He goes into action and makes that $1 million idea a $1 million reality. That's what he does. Now, what happens for most, and this is a painful reality for us to discuss, this could be one of the most painful moments in all of our time together, right now, this moment. It is recognizing whether or not I am using this thought process to vividly visualize something in the future for the purpose of getting clarity about what needs to be created and then focusing on the millimeters of actually creating it. We've discovered that only 2% of the people with this thought process do it that way. 98%. That's most of us. Instead of going into the future to get clarity, to inspire and drive our action, we escape into the future to get away from the now and imagine what it'll be like then, and then spend our time when we're there, what it'll be like. So not only when, but then. We live in the future, escaping to this glorious time when all of our debts are paid, and there's no more stress, and there's no more pain, there's no more frustration, where we have time freedom and financial freedom. Tonight you're going to discover this place does not exist on this planet. It does not exist on this planet. It is a lie. When we go there, two very damning things happen because of these thought processes being so overfocused. We create what neuroscientists call a mental construct. You'll be reading about that this week. A mental construct, that's an expectation. If you build a house, you construct a house, you lay a foundation, you build the walls, you put on the ceiling, the roof, the plumbing, the wall, you know, that's constructing a house. We're constructing an expectation. An expectation is a concrete condition for happiness. The same brain chemistry. Brain circuitry has occurred as if you were actually there. The brain thinks your fantasy is real. Now, that car may exist somewhere on this planet, but not in your garage. That home may exist somewhere on this planet, but the deed of trust is not yours. But the mind thinks that it is. Now, we also have a drug being released. It's called norepinephrine. You'll feel it next time you're in this space, should you go here again. It makes us feel euphoric. It's exciting. Ah, it feels wonderful. It can even bring us to tears as we imagine paying off our parents' home and providing them with a car for, you know, they poorly planned for their retirement, or doing something marvelous in our community, or living in this beautiful home. We're going and escaping to this place and living in it and having this glorious experience. And then we're yanked back into reality within the next 24 hours. Because when something shows up that is inconsistent with that expectation, our body experiences what is called an autonomic reaction. You've heard automatic. This is more than automatic. This is more than the natural blinking of your eyelids. You can't stop it. Your body just does it. That same place where the norepinephrine came from now starts releasing cortisol. Again, you'll read about this in great detail this week. Cortisol. That little lightning bolt in our gut. In addition, that little fight or flight center at the top of our brainstem, it's called an amygdala, it starts to send out these little things called fear dendrites, and their purpose is to shut down the functionality of the brain to centralize all of the energy in that fight or flight center. Our hippocampus, our memory center where we keep our scripts, is shut down. All the tumblers of the lock, click, 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 door slammed shut, spindle turned. It is shut. Our practical judgment, our common sense, our empathy, our intuition, all shut down. And we're in an emotional paralysis. And quite often, to overcome that process, we again engage in fantasy, escaping to a time when we're free of this stress. And what it'll be like then. And our body begins to release norepinephrine. And we start to build this expectation again. Same brain chemistry, brain circuitry firing again. And then reality shows up. And we're back in this emotional pit. Some of you on the phone are very familiar with what's called an undulation. A high peak, an undulation down to a low valley, back up to a high peak, back down to a low valley. Not only is this devastating health-wise, because the cortisol, when it's released in our body, is damning to the cells of our body. It is harmful. It causes illness. It also wears out the cells of our body. We are physically exhausted. Adrenal failure, adrenal fatigue. We lose some of the strength in our immune system. We get hypertension. Damages our heart. It does all kinds of things. There's wonderful medical evidence, not wonderful, very clear medical evidence about what cortisol can do to our body. Those are the destructive things. Anytime we engage in fantasy, and it can be as subtle as, this Thursday night I've got a meeting. I've got five people invited to that meeting. If we for a moment go beyond the meeting and start thinking about how many people purchased our product, how what we did with that money, and how many of those people, if you're in a business where you're doing networking or direct selling, we cannot afford to go 1 minute beyond Thursday and focus all of our mental energy on what happens between now and then. Otherwise, we'll get to Thursday, and the things that could have been done weren't done, and some of the people don't show up. And we end up in one of those discouraging moments, that autonomic response to our fantasy of what we thought would happen. If you're a worrier, if you catastrophize, if you have anxiety, if you fantasize, if you engage in like pornography addiction, counterfeit forms of pleasure, where the body's releasing chemicals because of a visual stimulus, that's not real. That is what we call the void. That is over here on the left-hand side. If you could just picture it over there, it's a dark pit. The light of day cannot penetrate this place. Oh, you get the fake feeling of joy from norepinephrine for a while when you're in fantasy. But the cortisol that comes from the anxiety when reality challenges or threatens that is just enormous. Enormous. Now, everybody, some have been on this call when I've said this before, but I want everybody to do this with me. Take your left hand and treat it like a tomahawk. Everything on the left-hand side of your left hand is over in the void. Everything on the right is going to be constructive. Drop your hand. Not going there today. Not going there today. You might have the blood vessels in your forehead ready to pop, but I am not going there today. I'm not going to escape to the future, have norepinephrine, and end up in depression. I'm not going to spend any time lamenting the past. I'm not going to spend any time tormenting myself over things that may not come to pass. I'm not going to spend time there. I might tell you this is my single greatest challenge. Mine. My single greatest challenge. I have two red measurements. It is very hard not to go there, especially when somebody is doing something that is frustrating. It's just painful. Let us do our best not to put people in this space the best we can. And let's do our best to stay out of it. Not going there today. Instead, what am I going to do? I'm going to focus on one of the five constructive ways of using my mind. I'm just going to start to introduce two of them to you tonight. You're going to have an opportunity to listen to and or read the material relating to goals and expectations. This is quality number two. This is your homework assignment. And to, in the day, become conscious, because next week I want people to say, yep, Wednesday morning I was in the middle of this, and I said, I'm not going there today. And instead I chose one of these five constructive ways of thinking, and I started focusing on it until I got an inspired idea or an impression or a solution to a problem that ignited my passion, brought joy into my life, and I began the process of physically creating it. So two things. We only have a few moments. One, it's called mental rehearsal. Mental rehearsal is like fantasy. It's very vivid. If you've ever driven around in your Ferrari or moved into your dream home in your mind, it's not unlike that. The difference is the intention. The intention is not to escape. The intention is to be instructed. You're going there to learn how to show up for someone better. What you could create, how you could create it, how would this serve? I want you to use your ability to fantasize to instead mentally rehearse a future event. Could be your meeting on Thursday night. What do you see? Do you see somebody who comes home from work and his wife has been dealing with the three small children all day? She's exhausted and she pleads with them not to come to your meeting. And he says, okay. And then you think, what could I create? How could I create a solution to that kind of a problem? And you find yourself calling this person and saying, I was thinking about you this morning. You mentioned to me that you have three small children. What's the likelihood that Thursday night when you come home, your wife is going to be exhausted and might want you to stay home? What could we do? Let's brainstorm for a moment. Something that could be there as a benefit for your wife so that she could support you in that event. That would be one example. Now, that's a very male-dominated example, but that's me. I'm a guy, okay? You can think of others. What can you think of? What can you learn? Because there is a power greater than yourself that can manifest to you an idea and an impression. It's my experience that that's how this great power talks to us, by way of ideas and impressions. Do we listen? Do we act on them? Do we recognize them for what they are? Think about, Steve, the feelings you had when you felt impressed to step into this person's world. Did you hear the voice? Fernando, did you hear it? John, did you hear it? Liz, could you feel a loving God wrapping his arms around you? Could you feel it? That's how that power speaks to us. Impressions, ideas, solutions to problems. And when we act on them, we will know. We will know. So mentally rehearse this week. Practice it. Lastly, inspiration. Your mind wants to drag you over into this pit. Not going there today. I am not going there today. Instead, I'm going to exercise inspiration. I'm going to start reflecting on names of people who may need service from me. I think about everybody I went to high school with, everybody I went to college with, everybody that's in a church group, a civic group, in an organization, a business, my neighborhood. I start going through names. Is this a waste of time? Oh, no. Not at all. What's a waste of time is to spend time over there torturing yourself over something that may never come to pass, or running away into the future to escape and avoid reality. That's the waste of time. Here I'm thinking about people's names, and all of a sudden somebody's name comes to my mind, and I can't get it off my mind. Ooh, I'm getting an impression. This is who I should be contacting. And so I call them. Wow. Don't be surprised that they are in absolute need of your call that very moment in time. Don't be surprised. And you would have missed that opportunity had you been over there catastrophizing. If you're mentally rehearsing and got an inspired idea to make a phone call that made it possible for somebody to show up to your meeting, you would have missed that opportunity had you been over there catastrophizing or fantasizing. Don't lament how many you've missed. Just don't miss any more. Because every time you go into a constructive way of thinking and you stay there, you will receive an inspired idea, impression, or solution to a problem. And you would have never received it had you have not consciously gone there and stayed there. This is what great minds do. This is what successful people do. They spend their time in these five mental creative processes when they're thinking. And they're constantly getting inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems, which they bring into the here and now, and with focus and discipline and effort and action, they create them in tangible reality, again with the same assistance from that same power, and they watch miracles unfold in their lives. I have never had this more dramatically presented to me than in my own life last week. I watched two doors open that were unspeakable. They were absolutely unbelievably life-changing. They could not have happened had I have not been practicing these principles under very extreme circumstances. But they did. Got an impression. Followed through with it a week ago, 2 weeks ago, Monday. Met with the person, went through their assessment, wondered why I was impressed to call them till the week later when they just found out something that they thought could be really important and powerful for our business and shared it. And by the end of that day, we were in a partnership with one of the most powerful people I have ever met. I didn't know him 8 hours earlier. But that power that governs abundance did. He had spent 4 years developing the very software we needed for our alcohol recovery program. The very software. He just felt inspired to do it. Didn't know exactly how it was going to be used. We invited them to dinner on Saturday night. We had our designer, our programmer, and he and his all their wives came, and we had a wonderful dinner, came, sat here in the office, and we worked through things on the way home. He told me today that his wife said, "Sweetheart, this is why you designed that software." Yes, we've been working all week. It is miraculous. Hard to believe I haven't known him for a lifetime. That's how it works. You're having miracles stepping into people's worlds. John, the miracle of mending a relationship with your sisters. Oh, what a miracle. As you practice this principle of intrinsic validation, you will find that as you use your mind constructively, how can I serve somebody more effectively? How could I step into that person's world more effectively? You'll get ideas you never thought of before. It will become increasingly amazing as you do it. And be prepared. Not all things are miracles as they're happening. I've always said miracles are only miracles in retrospect. I saw two that I knew I was having as they occurred last week. Two. It's rarely like that. Rarely. Most of them are miracles in retrospect. But I promise you, from the depths of my soul, having witnessed this in my own life in the last week, use your mind constructively. Not going there today. Stay here. You'll learn about mental rehearsal as you read, inspiration, exploration, planning, goal setting, and problem solving. Next week, we'll spend time on exploration, goal setting, problem solving. And we'll hear from you on what you've done with these principles. Now, this week, I want you to shift scrolls. When you get done with this 8-week process, you can go back and start studying the scrolls 3 times a day for 30 days. This next week, to support you in this process, I want you to study scroll number 6. I will be the master of my emotions. Scroll number 6. You wake up every morning in a different mood. It's one of the tricks of nature. You can consciously begin to think constructively and cause different chemicals to be released in your body and feel differently. The way you feel has more to do with your mindset than your health, physical health, more with your mental mindset. You can control this, and this scroll will assist you to remind yourself, not going there today. I'm choosing to be in mental creation until I get a divinely inspired idea, impression, or solution to a problem. I'm going to bring it into the here and now, and I'm going to begin creation. After we finish this discussion next week, then we're going to move into how to actually do the physical creation. Oh, please apply this with all of your heart. You will find miracles happening in your relationships and in your businesses. That's our promise. If you will embrace these principles, engage in life, connect with people, and create goodness everywhere you go. Well, we're a little bit over. Thank you for letting us do that. Is there anyone that has a closing comment before we wrap up for the night? Anybody that needs to say anything?
This is Steve in Arizona again. I just want to thank Bill Rauer, my coach, once again, who put me in a great mindset to start the week and made great things happen for me.
Thank you. Thank you to Bill and all those great coaches who are serving. Thank you, Steve, for acknowledging that. Well, everybody, you have a great week with these principles. Take this on. You're going to find that these are the secrets to success. These are the secrets. Well, thanks, everybody. Good night, and we'll visit with you again next Tuesday. Come with your stories. Come with your experiences, ready to share the highlight of this night. It was you, Steve, and Fernando and John and Liz. That was the highlight of this night for me. Oh, my goodness, you taught us so well. Come prepared, everyone, next week to share. And have a great week. Thanks, everyone, and good night.
Good night.